Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this day as we gather together on this Sunday, this 22nd Sunday after Pentecost, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to take this opportunity to let you know that we are glad that you are here with us. If you are visiting with us, we give God thanks for your presence in the midst of us. Just want to take an opportunity this morning to apprise you of a few announcements. First of all, just a reminder looking into the future that on our annual congregational meeting will be coming up. There will actually be on December the 8th following worship. But it's just a reminder to please have all the reports to the church office no later than Thursday, the November the 21st. So please make sure that you get those to Donna so that we can prepare for the congregational meeting on December the 8th. Also, another thing that is coming up November the 24th, we'll be having our Thanksgiving Day dinner. Please mark that, put that down on your calendar, an opportunity again to fellowship and to come together as God's people to give thanks for God, for all the ways that God keeps us and sustains us. Just a reminder, too, that immediately after worship this morning, we will have our second confirmation class. So if you are wanting to be a part of that, it's basically for young people, but also for adults. If you want to set in on that, always good to have adults, particularly mentors, but that will be immediately after worship this morning. There are other things happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read thoroughly your bulletin, but also go to our church webpage and our Facebook page to stay abreast of all the things that are happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
The children will be dismissed following this morning's gospel reading. This morning's reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Verses 35 through 45, which can be found in your pew Bibles on page 878. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Mark 10, verse 35. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to him and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with the baptism by which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called to them and said to them, "You know that those who are supposed to rule over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you must be your servant, and whoever will be first among you must be slave to all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. And the children are now dismissed.
Every time I hear our reading this morning from the Gospel of Mark, I can't help but to think of one of Martin Luther King Jr.'s most iconic sermons. It was called the Drum Major Instinct. A drum major instinct, of course, is the instinct that we all have to be out front, to lead the parade, to have the most important and privileged positions. It's an instinct we all have to some degree or another, but especially we Americans, we like to cultivate a spirit of competitiveness, a spirit of leadership. It starts quite early. I saw a sign on a daycare center window not long ago that read, "We develop young minds." And I thought to myself, these kids are too young even to be thinking of that kind of thing. They're too young to be thinking about leadership and being leaders over other kids and outshining their fellow kids. They're too young for that. But I think it's already being cultivated in them because it's the part of the drum major instinct. Once upon a time, there used to be something called bookstores. Maybe some of you remember that. They used to have lots and lots of books and titles, and you could go in and sort of browse around, and you could learn a lot from society, from a bookstore. And one of the things I noted from my frequent wanderings were the number of books on leadership. How to be an effective leader, how to lead from behind, all kinds of books on leadership, not to mention all the books about worldly leaders, all books about rulers and generals and sports icons, all kinds of leaders. The bookstore was filled with books on leadership. I didn't see any books on being a follower, but most of them were how to be an effective leader. Everyone wants to be important. Everyone wants to distinguish themselves in some ways. Everyone wants to be a leader. Everyone wants to outshine the others. Everyone wants to distinguish themselves in some way. And it is the drum major instinct. It's there in the church too. There among us pastors. I can tell you that as a pastor, we sometimes want to outshine each other. We sometimes want to be more important than each other. Even within our presbytery, there's a strong drum major instinct. Who can draw the most accolades? Who can obtain the most important positions? Who can sit on the most committees? Who can distinguish themselves in some way? A drum major instinct. Quite prevalent in our society. In fact, I wonder if in our society today that it's not part of the problem, that a great deal of the distress, a great deal of the disquiet in our society is the result of some of us who may have been in positions of privilege and importance, fear that maybe we will not be in those positions in the future, and it causes a great degree of anxiety, a great degree of consternation. We're worried about that because the drum major instinct has been cultivated in us. And so we fight over positions and privilege and importance. I think that's what's going on with the brothers James and John in our reading this morning. The drum major instinct. James and John come to Jesus with the request. And they say, "Rabbi, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. That sounds familiar, doesn't it? Isn't that the way people often approach God? Isn't that the way we often come to Jesus? Do for us whatever we ask. And Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? You know, contrary to popular belief, Jesus can't do everything. Or I should say, Jesus won't do everything. Some things Jesus won't do. He won't do anything contrary to the will of God. He won't do anything contrary to the way that God has called him to walk. He was already tempted by that in the wilderness, you remember, but after his baptism, the Satan in the wilderness comes to Jesus and he says, I can give you everything. I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. I will give you all the empires and all the nations. I'll give it all to you. I can deliver it to you. All you have to do is do things my way. But Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. Because there are certain things that Jesus just won't do. But now he says to these two disciples who have come to him, what do you want me to do for you? And they say, when you come into your glory, when you come into your kingdom, we want the positions of glory. We want the positions of honor. We want the positions of privilege and authority. We want to be on your left-hand side and your right-hand side so that everyone will know how important we are, so that everyone will see us, so we can lord it over everybody. We want the positions of importance, of privilege and honor. And when the rest of the disciples hear what they've asked Jesus, they become angry because they want those positions as well. They've all been jockeying and arguing about it for quite some time. And Jesus says, guys, you don't even know what you're asking for. Can you drink the cup? Can you drink the cup that I'm going to drink? Can you be baptized by the baptism that I'm going to be baptized by? When I first saw the lectionary passage for this week, I groaned a little bit. I groaned because Jesus keeps saying the same thing over and over again. I said to myself, come on, Jesus, you said this. You said this last week, something similar to this last week, and you said something similar the week before that, and you can't really expect me to get up in front of people and say the same thing to them, bring the same message, do you? But when Jesus says something over and over again, it's because it's something important. Something that he wants us to hear. Something that he knows it's hard for us to hear. Sometimes things are just hard for us to hear. It's hard for us to kind of comprehend. We have to hear it over and over again. Have you ever tried to explain something to someone, maybe your kids or someone, and you're explaining it to them, and they just kind of nod, and they say, mm-hmm, and they're indicating that they're getting it, and you're explaining it to them, and then they say something, and they do something that indicates that they didn't understand what you were talking about. Well, as the disciples this morning, Jesus keeps telling them and telling them about the kingdom of God, but they just don't get it. He keeps telling them that real glory, That real greatness is not about dominating others. It's not about controlling others. It's not about lording over people. It's not about trying to outshine someone. He keeps telling them that real glory, real greatness is about serving and loving and giving. That's what Jesus says about himself. He says, the Son of Man came not into the world to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. But his disciples keep finding that hard to comprehend. And often we do too. Often what we do is we turn the Lord's words upside down. Have you ever seen people do that? They turn the Bible upside down so that it's used as an instrument to control and dominate and lord over other people, rather than to be the instrument of love and grace and mercy and serving other people. Jesus says, your great people like to lord it over you. But that's not the way we roll in the kingdom of God. That's not the way we do things in the kingdom of God. Forget about the way things are done in the world. We don't do things like that in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about serving. The kingdom of God is about giving. The kingdom of God is about loving. If you want to be great in the kingdom of God, then you're going to have to follow me and in my way. You're going to have to drink the cup that I will drink. Jesus tells his disciples that he can't give them the positions that they want. He can't give them the position on his left-hand side and his right-hand side when he comes into his glory, because those positions have already been given away. That's because Jesus enters into his glory at the cross. It's at the cross where he is glorified. It's at the cross where he enters into his glory, and the two people who are on the right-hand side and the left-hand side are the two brigands who are crucified with him. But Jesus says, don't worry. Don't worry if you have a drum major instinct. Don't worry, because there's plenty of glory to go around. There are plenty of greatness for every one of you. Plenty of glory and greatness for everyone. If you can drink the cup that calls us out of ourselves and orients us towards others. What do you want me to do for you? That's what Jesus says. What do you want me to do for you? And often we know what we want Jesus to do for us. We want Jesus to make us winners. We want Jesus to help us shine. We want Jesus to help us be out front. But Jesus isn't in the business of making winners. He's in the business of making servants. Albert Schweitzer was a great man, a distinguished man, an accomplished man. He was a doctor, a medical doctor. He was a noted and accomplished New Testament scholar and theologian. He had written many books on biblical scholarship and and theology. But the thing that made him really great, the thing that made him stand out, was his work as a missionary in Africa. He spent a lot of time in Africa bringing the good news of God's love to the people there. Spent a lot of time there as a medical doctor helping to build medical facilities and resources. Spent a lot of time devoting himself and giving himself to others. The story is told that one time he was trying to put a big piece of timber in position, and he couldn't quite handle it by himself, and he saw a well-dressed man standing over in the shade, and he asked the man to come and help him, and the man said, no, I don't do that kind of work. I'm an intellectual. And the irony is that he was standing before one of the greatest intellectuals of his time, Albert Schweitzer. But his greatness was not in his intellectual achievements. His greatness was in serving others. I was reading something the other day about former President Jimmy Carter. He's 100 years old or so now. He's in hospice. But I was reading a note about him by his grandson. And Jimmy Carter was president, of course, when I was a teenager and a young man. Wasn't considered by many to be the most effective leader, wasn't considered to be one of the great American presidents. In fact, one of the images that I remember of Mr. Carter when I was in the Army was one morning when he was out jogging and had become overcome with heat exhaustion, and there he was being held up by Secret Service people, looking tired and beat. And I remember that was the image that was on the front page of the Stars and Stripes, the military paper at the time. And people were saying he's a weak leader. I suspect that history will probably show that he's one of the wisest leaders. He was certainly a good, decent man, went to church regularly, taught Sunday school. But he wasn't the kind of leader that we wanted, wasn't the kind of leader that people were looking for. But part of Mr. Carter's greatness is not what he did while he was in office. His greatness was what he's been doing in the 40-some years after he left office. His greatness comes from building houses and being engaged in various projects that helps people around the world. When history writes the chapter on President Carter, that's what they're going to say his greatness resides. Jesus says that if you want to be great, it has to do with serving others. My mother worked at the same hospital for many, many years. She's one of the greatest people I know. But she worked at the same hospital for almost 40 years. And last year, she's retired now. And last year, they recognized her. They gave her a surprise recognition party. The priest and the nuns at the hospital where she worked, it's a Catholic hospital. But the thing that she was being recognized for was not the many years of service that she worked there at the hospital. What she was being recognized for was her work, her volunteer work, since she's retired. Every week she goes to the hospital, and 3 days out of the week she goes and she prays into people's rooms, goes into the rooms of the patients, and she prays and she sings to them, and they love it. But it's part of what being being great is, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, that's what it looks like. It looks like serving others. We're reminded this morning that the greatest person who ever lived never commanded any armies, never won any significant military battles, was never elected to any political office, never obtained the wealth of a captain of industry, never did any of the things that we might consider great. In fact, his most notable achievements was to go around serving people, going around touching people, going around showing people God's love, going around healing people, going around giving people what they need. His greatest achievement was making himself available to be executed on a cross. And Jesus says that's what true greatness looks like. I'm not sure we live in a world that wants the kind of leader like that. We don't want a leader that we get in the Bible. We don't want the leader, the kind of leader we get in the New Testament. We don't want a leader like that because I think secretly we don't really want the kingdom of God. We want our leaders to be bold. We want our leaders to be accomplished. We want our leaders to lord over other people, or we, at least we want them to promise to lord over other people. We want our leaders to help us to be able to lord over other people. But Jesus says that if you want to be great, you have to be the servant of all. Martin Luther King noted in his wonderful sermon that Jesus doesn't condemn the disciples when they come to him. He doesn't say, you guys, you're never going to get it. He doesn't say, you idiots. He doesn't say, I've been sitting here again and again trying to tell you what the kingdom of God is all about, trying to tell you what glory is all about. He doesn't say any of that. In fact, he seems to be appreciative of the fact that these are people who want to be great. They want to be outstanding. They want glory. He just reorients them so that they can begin to understand what true glory is all about. And that's what he wants to do for all of us too, to reorient us so that we can be great in accordance to the kingdom of God. Can you drink the cup? Can you drink the cup of sacrificial, self-giving love for others? Can you let go of yourself and preoccupation with self? Can you turn your hearts solely towards God and towards each other? Can you drink the cup? Can you be great? That's the real drum major instinct, to be great as God calls us to be great in love and mercy and service to all. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, We do want you to do for us whatever we ask. And we have a long list of things we want you to do for us. Help us, we ask you, to establish ourselves. Help us to be able to succeed. Help us to have our names in bigger, bolder print. Help us to outshine others. But you keep calling us back. You keep calling us back to what it really means to be great. You keep calling us back to yourself and your invitation to us to follow you as you lead us into the glory of your kingdom. Give us the courage to do that this morning as we seek to be your faithful followers and servants. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen.